As I teach on our theme for the year, which is God, and this is part four of my series on God, and my subtitle is The Word of God. The Word of God. I have said that the first chapter of the Bible, that is Genesis chapter 1, introduces us to God. It is God's self-introduction. And so what we see happening in Genesis chapter 1 is God saying, this is who I am. And so it starts with verse 1, where we discover that God is the creator. And not only is he the creator, that he's an omnipotent creator, because he created without anybody's help. He did all things by himself. He has all the power to create. We also discover right there also in verse 1 that God existed before creation. So he is eternal and he is infinite. So that's the nature of God. And in verse 2, we discover that God is not only the creator who is infinite and who is omnipotent, that he created all things and he is spirit, that God is spirit. So we discovered that, and that a spirit is not matter, a spirit is not material, a spirit does not have atomic composition. A spirit is a totally different kind of entity, and God is spirit. And now we are going to verse 3, and we are introduced to the Word of God in verse 3. And if you pay attention to what we are learning so far, you find the foundations of major Christian doctrines in the very first verses of Genesis. God, the creator, God as spirit, God as the Word. And these are themes that will later come up in the Bible and eventually in the New Testament, developing such profound theological positions like the Trinity. All of that is present as we encounter Genesis chapter 1. So, Genesis chapter 1, verse 3. Then God said, let there be light, and there was light. Usually when I read that, I tell people, tell your neighbor, it's not your uncle who said. Then God said, let there be light, and there was light. It's the third picture of God we see in Genesis chapter 1. The first picture, he's a creator. The second picture, he is a spirit. The third picture, he is Word. And so we see the Word of God here. Let there be light, and there was light. And we find that phrase, God said, God said. Although word is not used, said implies word. In the Hebrew, it's yomer. And it means to have a will or an intent and utter a word. God had a will, God had a purpose, God had an intention, and he spoke it. So when we are talking about God speaking, it's not just a word that originates from his mouth or from his tongue, but it's a word that comes from himself, from his intention, from his will, from his purposes. The Word of God has roots in God. So you find that phrase throughout Genesis chapter 1. Many times the Bible talks of God said, and about 8 times in Genesis chapter 1, God says, God says something, let there be something, and then the thing comes, or he makes the thing to come. And 8 times in all the levels of creation, God speaks, and then he acts. The Word of God, and then the acts of God. So when we say that something has been said, it implies that a word has been spoken. A word has been spoken. So when God said, let there be light, he released word. Everybody say word. Please say it like you are in church. Word. All right. It's very important, because from Genesis chapter 1, verse 3, we realize that God transmits his will through his word. God transmits his will through his word. And his word performs his work. His will, his word, his work. It is will that produces the word, and it is word that produces the work. Will produces the word, and word produces the work. So if I want to see the work of God, I must receive the word of God, and the word of God must come from the will of God. You cannot see the word of God in a vacuum. You cannot just say, oh, I want to see God work. I want to see the power of God, but I don't have time for the word. Oh, I have time for the word, but I don't care about God's will. It's will produces word. Word produces work. That's the Trinity right there in Genesis chapter 1. The will, the word, the work. Let's say it together. The will, the word, the work. Say it one more time. The will, the word, the work. For the last time, class, the will, the word, work. That's the sequence. God has a will. We know his will because he speaks his word. And when he speaks his word, it does his work. That's the way God works in Genesis. And when we master these concepts, it helps us to receive from God. He transfers or transmits his will through his word. The Apostle John in the New Testament captures this magnificent truth in the first verse of the first chapter of John. First chapter of John is a reflection of first chapter of Genesis. And verse 1 of John's Gospel, John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. This is the foundation of Christianity. The Word is God. The Word did not just come from God. The Word does not represent God. The Word does not just carry God's idea. The Word is God. And John develops that to the point where he talks about the Word becoming flesh. And we know him as Jesus, the incarnation. The Word is God. That's the big difference between Christianity and every other religion. Jesus is not just a good teacher. He's not just a prophet of God. He's not just a religious leader. He is the Word of God. And the Word is God. The Word becomes flesh. So right there in Genesis chapter 1 and John chapter 1, we're encountering the Word of God. The Word is God. So we say that God and his Word are one. God and his Word are one. It's a foundational doctrine of Christianity. The Word is God. So what does that mean? First, it means that God reveals himself through his Word. God reveals himself through his word. We know God because he has made himself known. How has he made himself known? Through his word. His word reveals him. So if you have a Christian who devalues the word of God, they are devaluing God's revelation of himself. Unfortunately, we are in an era where there are preachers who don't have any respect for the Word of God. They believe that the prophecy they deliver is more important than the Word of God that God has revealed about himself. And unfortunately, there are Christians who believe that the prophet's word or a man of God's word or a pastor's word is more important than the revealed Word of God. You cannot know God outside of his revealed word. At least the God of the Bible. You may know other gods, but not the God of the Bible. The God of the Bible is known in the Bible. He reveals himself through his word. Secondly, he works through his word. Faith comes through his word. Everything God does, he does through his word. So God is desiring to touch the earth. The Bible says the earth is without form. It is void. Darkness is upon the face of the deep. And he needs, or he wants to reformat the earth so it can move from unproductive to productive. And how does he do it? He doesn't just get to working. He doesn't send an angel to fix the earth. He doesn't just move things in the earth. The first thing he does is speak. So guess what? If God wants to solve a problem in your life, how do you think he's going to solve it? Somebody says, there are people who say, we want to see the hand of God, the power of God, the work of God. That's true. But how are you going to see it? Through his word. If you don't get the word, you will not get the works. If you devalue the word, you devalue his works in your life. So God speaks. He speaks. Now, of course, when we say God said, let there be light, I mean, there's sometimes a logical question you ask is, what language did God speak? Of course, the Bible is written in Hebrew. So was he speaking in Hebrew? Well, at that time, Hebrew has not been invented as a language because no man has been created to even speak. So God spoke. The words he spoke would not be a human language. But he spoke. Because speaking is not always in the form of an audible human language. You can speak without speaking. It's possible. I mean, for example, if you have a television set, I remember when I was growing up, when the first TVs came to Ghana, if you want to make the TV work, you have to go to the TV. So you want to turn up the volume, you go to the TV and turn up the volume. You want to change a channel, you go to the TV and change the channel. And you did that, and if the TV, you know, those days the pictures used to roll a lot, you hit the TV by the side, pow, double slap. And all of a sudden, the TV becomes sober and say, hey, I get it. I have to stay on track. We're slapping the TV sets all the time. That was our language to the TV. We had to go to where the TV is to change the knobs. And then later on, something happened called remote control. And when you use a remote control, you stand somewhere, and that remote control speaks to the TV. What language is it speaking? It's speaking a coded language of zeros and ones through infrared. And it speaks to the TV. And then the channel changes and the volume goes up, and all the things we used to do by physically handling the TV is now being done remotely because a coded information is passed on to the TV and it responds and conforms to the message coming from the remote. So I can understand when the Bible says, and God said, I don't think if you were there you'll hear, let there be light. No. I believe God released a coded information, coded with his thoughts, with his will, his purpose, his ideas, into the atmosphere. God can speak into your life without you hearing an audible voice. He can do that. He can do that. So, God and his word are one. God works through his word. So, let's go a little further. What did God say? Let there be light. In Hebrew, yehi or. And if you translate it literally, it is light be. Light be. Not let there be, because if he says let there be, he's speaking to something to allow the light to be. But he says, God doesn't speak to something to allow something to be. He speaks to the light and says, you are not, but you will be. Let There be light. Light be. He calls the things which be not as though they were. That's the first lesson we learn about the Word of God. The first thing we learn in Genesis, of course, we know that the creation itself was spoken by the Word of God, but that is not accounted for in Genesis chapter 1. What is accounted for is that the Word of God produces light. The Word of God produces light. The Word of God does not produce darkness. The Word of God produces light. Light be. Now, normally when you're reading the Bible, it's always important to understand what is being communicated. Because in Genesis, God is teaching us very profound things. This is the first time we are learning about God from the Bible. And it's telling us how God works and what does what. So it's telling us the Word of God, the essential nature of the Word of God is to produce light. The essential nature of the Word of God is to produce light. And we'll discuss a little bit what that light is. And that theme is taken up again in John's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 5. It says, "And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness does not comprehend it." The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot hold it. So if there is darkness in a place and God wants to dispel the darkness, guess what he's going to do? He's going to send his word. His word will produce light, and the darkness cannot resist the light. That's how God works. If there is darkness in my life, in my family, anywhere around me, God wants to deal with the light. He's not going to deal with the light because I want light. Or he's not going to deal with the light even because I prayed. Without diminishing the power of prayer, we need to pray, we need to fast. We do that in the church, we do that. But we have to also learn God's processes well. So he wants to dispel darkness. What is he going to do? He's going to speak a word into the situation. And that word will produce the necessary light to dispel that particular darkness. Let there be light. There is light. The light shines in the darkness. The darkness does not overcome it. So what does light represent? Three things that the light represents. First, light represents illumination. It simply means making things clear. Light dispels darkness. Light brings about illumination. When we find ourselves surrounded by darkness, understanding God's word enlightens us. And the light, the darkness that the Bible talks about can be physical light or metaphysical darkness. Physical darkness or metaphysical darkness. Now, when we say something is physical darkness, it's when we turn off all the lights, we'll have physical darkness. When we say it's metaphysical, it can be spiritual. That means darkness that is not of a physical source. And it can come in different forms. It can come through demonic activity. It can come through ignorance. It can come through all kinds of things. But it's darkness. Its source is not physical. Whether the source of the darkness is physical or metaphysical, the light of God will disperse it. And no matter how gross the darkness is, the word of God will disperse it.